Today, our assignment comes out of the book of John. And I've been here enough times to know that it is your custom to stand for the reading of the word. So I would ask that if you're capable of doing that, that you do that. John 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John 18. I'm going to start at the fourth verse. I'm going to finish at the fifth verse. John 18, 4 and 5. And it reads as thus. Then Jesus, knowing all that was about to happen to him, went to them and asked, "Whom do you want?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said, "I am he." And Judas, who was betraying him, was also standing with them. Just for a brief moment in time today, New Beginning, I want to talk to you from a subject entitled, Have You Seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, asking you to sit me down and hide me behind the cross. Lord, anything that's in me that is not of you, we ask that you remove it right now, Lord. Fill me up with you, Father. Anything that you would have me say, put it on my heart. Anything that you would have me not say, take it out of my mouth. Lord, I ask that you open every heart and mind under the sound of my voice and on Zoom to accept your word, receive it, marinate on it, Lord, and share it throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Have your way in this place, and all the saints said, amen. Amen. Now, Sister Williams, I've also done a lot of flying. I wasn't flying it myself. I was back on row 11C or something like that. I used to travel for work about 9 months out of the year. And on one occasion, I can remember waiting for my hotel room to be ready in the lobby because my plane had arrived early and check-in wasn't until 3 p.m. And even though I was a Platinum Rewards member, my room was not ready. And as I sat in the lobby with my attitude, an energetic little boy around 11 years old walked up to me, tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, sir, but have you seen the ghost?" I said, "Nah, man, I ain't seen no ghosts. I don't know what you're talking about." The little boy said, "Sir, don't you know? This place is haunted and there's supposed to be a ghost on the premises." I said to the little boy out of pure amusement, "I've stayed in a lot of hotels, but I've never stayed in a haunted one. This should be interesting." So the little boy continued throughout the lobby telling everyone he could find that there's a ghost at the hotel. "Have you seen the ghost? Hey, have you guys seen the ghost? I'm looking for the ghost. Has anybody seen the ghost?" He was enthused. He talked to everybody that would listen, telling them about the ghost that was supposed to be on the premises. And as I prepared this message, it hit me that if Christians would come to church with that same enthusiasm, looking for the Holy Ghost, our worship experience would be something to shout about. Because if you ever walk into the sanctuary and the Holy Ghost isn't here, that's just a waste of your time. It is in the book of John where our text takes place, right after the Passover, but before Pentecost. And Judas has set things in motion for Jesus to give up the ghost. He brings 500 Roman soldiers to arrest Jesus. Did y'all hear what I said? 500 soldiers to arrest one man whose nickname is the Lamb of God. He didn't have no tough nickname like Do Dirty, Killer J, Mr. Knockout, none of that. He's known as the Lamb. And if you look at verse 4, Jesus asked them, who y'all looking for? And in verse 5, they say, we looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Has anybody seen Jesus? And Jesus responds, I am he. I am he. And if you look at the screen and you see the word he is italicized. Because in the original version, it's not there. It's only there for your Western reading and comprehension. So the scripture actually reads in the original, whom do you seek? They answer, Jesus of Nazareth. And he responds with, I am. And if we would have read down to the sixth verse, in the sixth verse it says, when Jesus said, I am, they all fell to the ground. Every last one of them, all 500 of them. And that's just confirmation to me that at that name, every knee shall bow. So Judas does his job and he does it well. Y'all know the story. Jesus is arrested. He's tried. He's crucified. And in the very next book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus is resurrected and he's on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Now, if y'all not going to shout over anything else I say today, you can at least shout over a resurrected Jesus. He hung, bled, and died for such as you and I. But before he gave up the ghost, he called up the front desk of heaven and asked for a wake-up call. The angel said, yeah, Jesus, we can do that. What day would you like? He said, Sunday. The angel said, we got 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. What time would you like, Jesus? Jesus said, it really don't matter to me. Just make sure it's early Sunday morning. So here we have a resurrected Jesus on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and he tells his disciples to tarry until the Holy Ghost comes. And when the Holy Ghost comes, you will be my witness, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, then in West Covina, then in Compton, then in Long Beach, then in South Central, then in the outermost parts of the world. What I'm trying to tell you, family, is the church is born with 120 people looking for a ghost. See? It may help us to understand why some of our churches are dead every Sunday. You can go to church and they ain't got no fire. Ain't nobody happy to be there. The deacons don't want to pray. The choir don't want to sing. The ushers won't smile. And the preacher got an attitude. Why? Because ain't no ghost there. But here at New Beginning, some of y'all walked in with the Holy Ghost on him. You walked in saying, I got him with me, but I want more of him. Hold on. I need some people in here that want more God, want more Holy Ghost, want more of his presence, more of his power, more of his position, more of his anointing, more of his truth, more of his direction, more of his protection, more of his influence, more of his potency. I want some more Jesus. Has anybody seen him? Because I need the Holy Ghost up in his place, because when the Holy Ghost shows up, lives will be changed. When the Holy Ghost shows up, worry becomes worship. When the Holy Ghost shows up, he takes your pain and gives you peace. When the Holy Ghost shows up, sinners become saints. When the Holy Ghost shows up, the devil can't stay. When the Holy Ghost shows up, drunks become Bible-based believers. Do I have anybody in here that's looking for some Holy Ghost? Because when the Holy Ghost shows up, people with strongholds get delivered. I need some people in here that want some Holy Ghost, that knows the Holy Ghost, believes in the Holy Ghost, trusts in the Holy Ghost, relies on the Holy Ghost, talks with the Holy Ghost, walks with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I throw this in a salad while I'm tossing it? People who are filled with the Holy Ghost get on the nerves of people that ain't got no ghost at all. Don't take all of that. People don't like you when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. But just tell them, the ghost is transferable. Just lay hands on him and tell him, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to give you some of what I got, because I'm tired of the same old tradition. I'm sick of people being stuck in their ways. I'm tired as church as usual. I want a service where the Holy Ghost explodes in this place. I want to have so much Holy Ghost that when people drive by, they feel a shift in their car. Why? Because they're in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Has anybody seen Jesus? Can I teach for a minute? The Holy Ghost is not just the power to shout, speak in tongue, throw oil, pray, preach, teach, or for you to conduct yourselves in a way that puts you under the influence in church. But the Holy Ghost, when you have it for real, it influences the way you walk and talk on the outside of the church. You see, the Holy Spirit is a God's presence on the inside of us that is not an on and off switch based upon how much you come to church. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, the very spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that within that one being known as God, there exists three equal and co-internal persons, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are not three gods. They are three persons in one God. So to disconnect with one is to disconnect with all. So if you want God but don't want Jesus, then you don't want God. And if you want Jesus and don't want the Holy Ghost, then you don't want God or Jesus. And if you don't want the Holy Ghost and you don't want Jesus and you don't want God, you can't have any parts of God, because Jesus is your access to God and the Holy Ghost. Let me back that up with some scripture. 1 John 5:7 says that there are three that testify: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and they are one. Jesus got baptized in Matthew 3. The Father spoke from heaven, the Son is in the water, and the Holy Spirit showed up in the form of a dove. In Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. It is not three gods, it's three persons in one God. And to reject one is to reject all. Just a little bit more teaching. The ministry of the Holy Ghost is to be to us what Christ was to his disciples. Let me help you out with that. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ was the physical parent, a physical presence of God on earth. Therefore, the Holy Ghost is the spiritual presence of God in light of his physical absence. I try it again. I don't want you to miss it. I'm trying to tell you that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ in light of his physical absence. And therefore, the Holy Ghost is to us what Jesus was to his disciples. Jesus said, I must go so that the Comforter may come. I'm going to leave you with my spiritual presence, so that those 12 men won't have the exclusive rights to say that they're the only ones in human history that had interaction with God. So for those of us who came after Christ, we got him on the inside. They had him with him on the outside. We have him with us on the inside. The Holy Ghost is the presence of God in us, while Christ is with us and God is over us. Let me try it again, because y'all don't want to get happy. Maybe you ain't got the Holy Ghost. But for those in here that's got some fire on the inside, there is something on the inside of you that you cannot account for by your human logic, by your education, by your bank account. It is the presence of the Almighty God on the inside of you, making you aware of all things God and giving you something that you could not get if it wasn't for Jesus. That's why I'm asking, has anybody seen Jesus? You can shout. But just because you shout don't mean you have the Holy Ghost. Demons can shout. Demons can run. Demons know God better than some of us. As a matter of fact, some of us have been waiting to exhale all week. And when we shout, all we really doing is releasing frustration. But when you really got the Holy Ghost, you pray for those that despitefully use you. You bless them that curse you. And the Lord instruct you from the inside out on how to handle life on the outside of the sanctuary. Is there anybody in here who can testify that God is alive because he lives on the inside of me? Now, if I was Peter, back in chapter 18, if you read it, you'll find out that's where he cut the ear off of the soldier. If I was Peter, I wouldn't have cut the ear off of the soldier. I would have just told him, if you're looking for Jesus, you're going to have to look on the inside of me. Question. If I could look into your heart, would I see a reflection of what you've been through? Or would I see Jesus? That's the question today. I had a late Christmas this year. I was stuck with the coronavirus for Christmas, so all my plans were shattered. Grandchildren and children were gonna come over. I had it all planned out. We're gonna build gingerbread houses, sing songs, all that good stuff, open presents. So we didn't get to do that until the middle of January. So everyone came over. We kept my Christmas tree up. My Christmas tree up still to this day. Don't judge me. So they came over. We opened gifts, and my grandchildren were excited. For a few hours, I was a grandpa of the year. And after they opened all the gifts, and my granddaughter went to pull her present out the box, her smile turned to disappointment because it wouldn't turn on. It had no power. And I said, y'all know what I said, give it to grandpa, let me see. And I tried to cut it on, and still it had no power. Then I looked at the box and it said, batteries not included. See, now I shared that with you because that when you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you don't get it subsequently to being saved. You see, unlike my granddaughter's Christmas presents, the Holy Ghost is not batteries not included. I think I lost you. The Holy Ghost is batteries included. Okay, let me try it like this. When you go to the store and you get a toy for your child, there are certain toys you don't have to buy batteries for because they're included when you bought it. You see, when Jesus bought you with his blood, he already put the power on the inside of you. The power doesn't come later. The power came when you got saved. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, because Jesus said when you got saved, it was like a mighty wind that came, and you don't know where the wind came from, and you don't know where the wind is going. All you know is that something happened on the inside of you that opened up your heart and mind to receive our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost was necessary for you to get saved, not subsequent to you being saved. Told y'all I wasn't going to be long. I got to go now. I got to go. But before I go, let me tell you about the little boy. The little boy is running all through the hotel. He now has my attention. And here's what the little boy said. He said, I hope the ghost didn't leave. I can't make this up, y'all. The little boy said, I hope the ghost didn't leave. He's the main attraction around here. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You shouldn't care who leaves this church. As long as the Holy Ghost don't leave, everything is going to be all right. Because when you come in contact with the Spirit of God, can't nothing remain the same, because the Holy Spirit changes the atmosphere. One way you know that you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit is because there's some fire. Fire is the presence of God. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel, God answered by fire. The Bible says that Elijah told them that the one God, who is God, rained down fire, and fire fell from heaven. The songwriter said, Bobby, our God is a consuming fire.
And when the church come together like it should come together, there will be a fire in this place. That's why I get frustrated as a preacher sometimes, because I see people walking to the church on fire and people who don't have no fire put their fire out. That's why you got to be careful who you sit next to, because some people come to church with a water hose in their purse, with a fire extinguisher in their back pocket. How you going to come to church and say it's boring and you supposed to be the one with the fire? I need some people in here that's got a little fire in them. I need somebody who can say, I feel like Jeremiah. Every time I open my mouth, it feels like fire shut up in my bones. I need some fire.
Okay, I'm done. I'm almost out of time. Listen, the Holy Ghost changes the atmosphere. The Holy Ghost changes attitudes of people. The Holy Ghost will change the atmosphere of a church and change the surroundings of everything around us to the point that healing takes place. When you come into the house, you ought not be ashamed of the fire that you possess. Because when your fire ignites with my fire, and my fire ignites with her fire, and her fire ignites with his fire, we'll end up with a blaze that the whole world has to pay attention to. Can I tell you what's wrong with us? We got preachers that ain't got no fire. They so busy worried about armor bearers and who's going to carry their Bible, they ain't got no fire. We got choirs that ain't got no fire. Not ours. They so happy about their voice, they can't sing with nobody else. We got people in the congregation that's been healed, restored. God has paid bills for them, made a way for them, and they ain't got no fire. I'm tired of fireless saints. I want to worship with some people that get happy walking through the kitchen. I want to worship with some people that get happy driving down the freeway. I want to worship with some people who's been in church all their life, and God has kept you, made a way for you, helped you, and sustained you, and blessed you. I want to worship with some saints who got some fire shut up in their bones. All right, I'm done for real this time. I'm done, Bobby. You can start playing, Bobby. I'm done. See, but before I go, can I tell you what the little boy said? The little boy. I heard a man ask the little boy in the lobby. He said, "Little boy, how are we gonna know if somebody sees the ghost?" The little boy said, "Oh, that's easy. You're going to hear some screaming and shout. Because anytime you get around the Holy Ghost, you ought not be able to sit there with your hands folded and your legs crossed. You ought to be able to shout to the top of your lungs and tell somebody what God has done for you, because you are filled with the Holy Ghost and you cannot keep it to yourself." The story is told about the little girl who went in her brother's room and was going all through his closet and under his bed. And he said, "Sis, what are you looking for?" She said, "I'm looking for Andy. Have you seen him?" He said, "Nah, sis, I ain't seen no Andy." She goes into the living room where her mama is, and she's looking under the couch and under the pillows of the couch. And she goes in the kitchen and open a pantry. And her mama says, "Baby, what are you looking for?" She says, "Mama, I'm looking for Andy. Have you seen Andy?" Mama said, "Nah, baby, I ain't seen no Andy." She goes into the garage where her father is, and she's looking under boxes and she's looking under the car. And her daddy says, "Honey, what are you looking for?" She says, "I'm looking for Andy, Daddy. Have you seen Andy?" Daddy said, "Better not be no Andy up in here." So the family gets together and they say, "What is wrong with little Susie? What's gotten into her? What is this thing she's looking for?" They say, "I don't know. Let's call her down and ask her." Susie comes downstairs and they say, "Susie, now what is it that you're looking for?" She says, "Mama, you know, I'm looking for Andy." Mama says, "Who is Andy?" She said, "You know, the one the preacher was talking about at church today. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he's my friend." Mama said, "Girl, he wasn't talking about no Andy. He was talking about Jesus." The little girl said, "Well, has anybody seen Jesus?" I'm done. Doors of the church is open. Please stand on your feet all over the building if you can.
In the name of Jesus. Yeah.